Father, in Jesus' name, now has become approached thy word. We ask that my Father, we focus on thy word, casting all our cares of the things, O Lord, that bothers us into your hand as we sit under your feet and to learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, today I want to take a series that we have been touched on for some 11 years ago. Some of you may remember, some of you may not remember. But we need to bring out some of this because of the young ones who might not have been around and remember all this that we have taught all those years. Before I do, I want to show you some wise words, and I want you to look at it because it has something to do with what we're going to preach. Alright? Now this is a work document. Now this man, of course, if you don't know him, is Tata. The big company, is the owner of the big company in India who have these Tata trucks and all that buses thing. Now this is his wise word. None can destroy iron, but its own rust can. Likewise, none can destroy a person, but his own mindset can. So remember this. Okay? None can destroy iron, but his own rust will destroy itself. You all know that, don't you? Huh? So the same thing, what can destroy you is your own mindset. What is in your mind? How you behave and what you think. That's what the Bible says. As a man thinketh, so he is. Is a light, it will destroy you. Okay. The next one. Next page. Ups and downs in life are very important to keep us going. Because a straight line, even in an ECG, means we are not alive. And that's so true, isn't it? Everybody wants to have a smooth line. Go straight. Huh? Don't want to have a crooked. You know, now we are complaining this, we complain, everything we complain. But you know, a straight line means you're dead. And I like this one. It's a wise man now. Wise saying. So think about all this, because when we approach the Word of God, just think of this. Next one here. Here we have. Fear has two meanings. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. Isn't it true? Huh? And if we, that's the one thing about, if we fear death, anyone who fears death, is not worthy of life. That's my motto. That's my tagline. Okay? If you fear death, then it's not, you're not worthy of life. That's no, because you're always in the corner, keeping yourself in one place. You don't want to face the world. You don't want to have the challenge. Is that not true? Right? Okay. The last one here. Six ethics of life. Before you pray, believe. Before you speak, you listen. Before you spend, you earn. Before you write, you think. And before you quit, try. And before you die, you better live. Six simple ethics of life. And I believe that all these are applicable to us as Christians, how that we to believe. Alright. So our new series of teaching, I'm going to go over again, and it's going to be quite a series. Alright? At least 8 or 9 messages. It is the first principles, the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Today we are going to start in the introduction itself, and then we're going to take each of these principles of the doctrine of Christ. There are 6 plus 1, 7. Introduction is the beginning of what we look at. Go to the book of 2 John. Alright? And verse 9 to 10. Whosoever transgresseth and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abide in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now here we're talking about the first principles. This is an important teaching that every one of us, when we come to Christ, must learn. That's why once in a while, you know, I have taught this before. Back in 11, 12 years ago. And even earlier when we start teaching back in the 70s, I don't know how many times I've taught this, because always new one comes, so they need to understand this first principle. And yet many of us have learned it before, probably have forgotten. Okay, we learn because we need to learn to keep in mind, refresh ourselves. Alright, so these principles are important because it is known as the doctrines of Christ. Everything that you need to know about Christ, everything that you need to know about Him, because I told you this before. At Calvary, it is all about doctrine. If there is no Calvary, there is no doctrine for you and me. Do you think so? Even in the Old Testament, all the law and everything that they were given by the prophets as well, they were all pointing to Calvary. And that's what the doctrine in the Old Testament were pointing to, that Calvary. And if Calvary was not fulfilled by Christ, we won't be healed. We won't be healed. We don't need doctrine. We don't need teachings. Is that right? Do you understand? Okay, is there the doctrines of Buddha? Or doctrines of any founder of religion? Doctrines of Confucius. You call it philosophy. Is that alright? You call it philosophy. Huh? But it's a doctrine, isn't it? Any teaching you want to call a philosophy, isn't a philosophy to you? Even Christian teaching, some people call it just a philosophy. Anything that is a teaching that tells you about life, this and that, is a doctrine. So, when we come to the Bible, remember the Bible is split into two. Old Testament, New Testament, and right in between that is Calvary. And Calvary is all about doctrine. And it's all about Christ. So that is why it's important for us to know about our faith, that it must be grounded only in Christ Jesus, who is our foundation. So right now here he says, whosoever transgresses and abide not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Now this is, well, we read that, you know, denomination, read that, Christian, read that, as if, well, yeah, I understand this and that. But if we analyze the verses carefully, whosoever transgresses and abide not in the doctrines of Christ have not God. What does it mean? It means that you have to abide in everything that God said, which Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Not even one iota, not even one tittle. Everyone must be fulfilled. So can we say, this is not necessary or that is not necessary? No such thing. Abide in the doctrines of Christ. That is what we should do. He that abide the doctrine of Christ, that both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive it not into your house, neither be in God's feet. Now he's not just saying that this word doesn't mean that when you're in the house and here comes somebody knocking on the door, want to share with you something, you know, whether it's a Mormon or Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, you want to discuss with them, you can discuss with them. You understand that? But don't let him bring to you some doctrine and then you say, it's true, maybe something like you agree with them. Alright, and especially this verse is always pointing to a preacher. Now I will not allow anyone to come into my pulpit, a preacher who come here and bring not the doctrine of Christ, but stands in my pulpit and talks about Brother Branham and Brother Branham and Brother Branham, he is the absolute and he is the disseminator and all these things. I will not allow that. Because that is not the doctrines of Christ. It's all glorifying the man. Do you understand? I'm still getting emails from some of these Branhamites who think they are preachers, but they are not. There are people whom you can encounter on the internet on forum page. Remember, I tell you, if you want a good laugh, go to the forum page. You know, this anti-message. There are all kinds of talks and discussion and all that. Sometimes I just go in and scan through some of these crazy ideas that they have and laugh about. But they always going to change my mind. So they say, problem is this, problem is that, we got a Cold War problem, and so on and so forth. And that becomes very counting, and that is not the doctrines of Christ, because in the Bible, you don't talk the
about. Peter don't talk about Paul. Paul don't talk about Moses all the time. Like he just mentioned about what the man did and that's it. It's all about Christ. You see. So if any preacher comes along and bring you something damnable, you know, don't receive it. Let us go right now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Verse 1, 2, and 3. This is the main text of our teaching. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You see, he's talking about there's only one doctrine of Christ. But there's only one prophetic revelation, not prophetic revelations. There's only one prophetic revelation. Only one revelation. There's only one doctrine of Christ. But there are principles in this doctrine. One prophetic revelation, one revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus, not the revelations. You got it? One revelation, but there are different mysteries that are hidden in this revelation that was shown to Christ, that is shown to John, and that is shown to us. See? So therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. So then if God permit us to go on. Now here is Paul's writing to the Hebrews. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now it doesn't mean to say that forget about it. Leaving does mean to forget about it. No. Having learned what we have learned, then you say, Paul says, leaving that. Now you've learned it, don't keep on going over and over and over. Just a denomination. What of the denomination? You go to denomination churches. What do you hear? What do you hear every Sunday? Well, I was an examiner to God all those few years. You know, it's the same old thing that you hear, you know. It's just a sermon, 40 minutes long, or 45 minutes long. And it's all about, you know, the good thing. There's no real study. The study that they conduct is when you are in Sunday school. You understand? Okay, but there is no deep understanding of in the study into the Word of God. That's why I'm saying here, this is not just a place where you come hear a good sermon and go home. We are here to learn about the Word of God. And as Paul said, when we gather together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Why? We are gathered here because we are judged by the Word of God. Is that right? Is that right? Do you know that you are sitting in heavenly places with Christ? While you are sitting in heavenly places with Christ, you are being judged by the Word now. Do you know that? Yes. So that we be first to be judged, what about those who are into the other judgment that comes after? Here we are already children of the living God. We are sanctified. We are here being judged so that we can keep ourselves clean, pure. So that we will not stand before Him shivering because we have a sin. So that's why when we come together, you are being judged by the Word of God. You're not here to be saying, God said you are a good son of God. You are a good daughter of God. It's for God to bring forth the Word and the Spirit talk to you and you look at what the Word says. You hone your life into the straight path of Christ. Right. Okay? So what we have learned, don't go over and over it, that this principle, this basic six principles that we have here. But go on to perfection. We need to go unto maturity. Perfection means maturity. Go on forward to maturity. And how can you be mature until you eat the Word of God? How can you be a mature person and strong, be strong physically until you eat proper meat, proper meal? Not milk, not milk, not milk. Is that true? Okay, look at it. Now, believing the principle of doctrine, let us go on to perfection. The first foundation, first principle. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work. That is, repentance from dead work. That's the first one. Okay, first principle. The second principle of faith toward God. Third is on the doctrine of baptisms. Four, of the laying on of hands. Five, of the resurrection of the dead. Six, eternal judgment. And seven, perfection. Six principles plus one, move on. You're having the six and you don't go on, you don't have the seven, you cannot come to that place of perfection. So Paul here is saying, now we're leaving the principle of doctrine of God, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation. That means to say that, oh, what does Paul mean? It means that you don't repeat yourself to a place where you keep on coming back and repent as if you are a great sinner. You don't repeat things again and again. Not laying again the foundation. You know what? When you are a sinner, you were convicted of sin and you repent. So when you repent, if you truly repent, okay, and the Lord give you a new one, you already have a foundation, isn't it? Is it not true? Do you not have a foundation? Once you repent, God give you His life. You are His child. Okay. But when a person keep on coming back to the Lord, I'm not even sure if I'm a believer. I'm not sure if I'm born again. Alright, you understand that? Because once you're born again, you need to know when you're born again, you cannot go back and say, am I born again? Am I really born again? I better repent over again. Now, you know, this isn't when you're alive, you're alive. You understand? Not going back and recycle the whole same thing. Oh, baptism. Oh, I think that I need to go back to get baptized again. I'm not sure whether my first baptism count or not. Maybe my last three baptisms already counted. You know how people do that? Because, oh, this person who baptized me, he's, you know, I was baptized in UPC. Maybe God don't recognize it. It doesn't matter who baptized you. So you think there is not, maybe that baptism doesn't count. So when you come into the Abrahamite, come into a message, and then you enter into Abraham camp, so to speak. Oh, the preacher saying, oh, you know, Abraham, and they say, oh, I want to be baptized, so you get baptized. Then when you realize after some time, this is wrong, because there's a thunder group. So I went to one that is a two soul group. Oh, I want to get baptized again. Now there is something wrong with this. That means the person is not being taught what the principle is all about. Do you understand? It doesn't matter where you found Christ or where Christ found you, in a Baptist church, in an Anglican church, or on the roadside. Once He found you and make you clean and you have repented and given you the Holy Spirit, you are His child. And when you are baptized, whether it's a dirty water or in the sea or in the river, you know what? There are churches that believe that you should not baptize a person in the pool. You know, in what we call a bathtub in a stagnant pool. There need to be a one running water, like the one in River Jordan, where the water is running, because the water is running means it's washing you. But it's a stagnant pool, it's dirty. You understand what I'm talking about? Or when you're in Uganda, you know, they have droughts most of the time and they don't have water, they have mud. You know what I mean by mud? They baptize in the mud. You go down clean, you go out, comes up, they're black. Mud. It's a baptism! And you understand what baptism is all about, whether it's on in the mud or in the river, in the sea or in the pool, whatever it is. You understand the significance. You are taught that it represents your death with Christ and resurrection to a new life. That's what you need to know. If you are not taught right, because you're not taught right, your mind is unstable. Your mindset is all messed up. We need to know the Word of God You are getting what I'm saying. So these are the six principles here. Now let us go to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12 to 14. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yeah, that's simple. How old have you been now? As a believer, as a Christian, and plus as a believer in this entire message. How many years have you been? You know how many years you've been. And how many years as a Christian and a believer of this message that you have wasted your years? You know, when I was back when I was in the Exhibition Garden, I loved a lot of Christian songs and was so thrilled by it that, especially when I first heard the group called the Chuck Wagon Gang, you know, four singers. They sing practically with the guitar, just a simple organ, and practically almost like a cappella. The song is so beautiful, they're so harmonized. That, you know, I spent a lot of money buying records from overseas, from a warehouse sales. And they're pretty cheap anyway, they're not expensive. $2-3 American dollars only for one album, LP. So I got hundreds of records in my home. And you know, the thing about it is that in hearing all these songs, it helped me to get closer to the Lord. And I do not want to waste time, but in learning this song, in hearing this song, it helped me get closer to the Lord. Until one day when this message came to me. And of course, when the message came to me, and knowing the meaning of all this, that God's will and His purpose in our life, and why people write songs, the wording to those songs. And I believe that if it wasn't for some thing like Christian song that keep in our way, many of us would have sort of wasted our life. Like I once was in the early years before I went to the Pentecostal church, I backslid for 2 years because of the pop songs of the world. So to me, those were 2 years, wasted years. And one of the songs that was on that record was that particular song. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Yes, many times we waste our life over something that is not worth, you know, spending time on. I know many of you, some youngsters, they play computer games. Well, not for relaxation, it's fine. But there are people that indulge in computer games for many, many hours. They can go to that arcade and play the computer game. But what do you get out of winning some computer in the competition? Your mind will be thinking every night how to beat the guy. What you should do, what gun you should take, what token, what everything that is on the screen. Is that all right? When you look at the life that you live, the thing that you engage in, if it's something that is not, have no value at all, okay, I mean, you say, oh, your computer can make me relax. Fine, you know, but if you overindulge in anything that you overindulge in, it's become a problem. Even in food, you know that. I must go all the way from west, where I live, to the east, because that is the good crab meat stall, bihun, or whatever it is. Huh? The best hamburger over that side. Huh? Or if you're living in the east, you want to go over to the west. No, they're just to travel to look there. I mean, you become obsessed with something. Yeah, people we're obsessed with what kitty kitty thing in this, you know? What is that, kitty kitty? Hello Kitty. They're so obsessed and they will collect all that and queue up, oh my, for hours and days for it. You know? And now when I look back, I realize that those 2 years when I was spending my time in that woolly popsong world, you know, it was wasted years. You know, when I came back to the Lord, oh my, everything changed. I just spent more time with the Word of God and prayer and studies and just to know more about His Word. And that is what you gain knowledge, because God, as Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge because they don't know. Look at what's happening in the Christian world today. You know, I kind of understand when you look into the news that pops out every so often about the case over here in the City Harvest case. Huh? You wonder. The money they involve in investment. Home. God give you money to invest. God wants you to invest in property. Why? Because you have a big congregation of 10,000. And these people out there were deceived because you deceived them. Did you dish out the food to them? Did you meet out the food to them? Spiritual food? Or did you pamper them with God wants you to be a millionaire? The Bible said that God is a multi-multi-multi-multi-multi-billion. And you are one of his to be a multi-millionaire. You ever hear people preach that? Yes. God is prosperous. Look at Joseph. God made him prosperous. He was a son of God. You can be too. That's why we have all kinds of evangelists in America coming on television, dressing like they're a millionaire. You know, because God is a millionaire. Even here in Singapore, in Malaysia that I know, that's not the way. And now we think the Bible says be content and be simple. Isn't that not true? And perhaps, as I said last Friday, they could have taken a verse of the scripture. You know, about the parables about the talents, you know. How did the man go one talent and hide it? Isn't it so? Huh? And when the master returned, he says, well, what happened to your one talent? Oh, I buried it because I know you're a hot man. So here's the one talent back. And the master said, if I know that you will do that, I'd rather have put this one talent in the bank, huh? And get an interest. Isn't that so? Then I have taken that parable and said, you see? God wants us to invest. Your tithes are offering, God wants us to invest. Invest in what? In properties? Money? Pop singing, make a star of it? Or what God wants you to invest in? In what? Come on, tell me. Souls. All the tithes and offering that comes to the ministry is the investment in souls. Is that so? If there is no tithes and offering, because if God touches you, because remember the Bible says everything that comes into your hand belongs to you. Yeah, I swear it belongs to you. So I work hard, you know. That's why I earn $10,000 a month. You work hard. If God just snap up your life with something of a disease, will you be able to work? No. That's why in everything we need to glorify God. We need to thank God. That's why whatever comes into your hands, 10% belongs to the Lord. And that money goes where? Into His ministry. And what does His ministry do? Take the money to do what? Buy properties? No. To invest in souls, outreach, mission work. And that's why here we have this little fellowship here. Those brothers overseas, they don't believe that I have just a small congregation. They thought that I have thousands of believers. Because I travel overseas, we print books, we support them, everywhere, a little here and there, they think that we have a big church. And they think that I'm joking. Really, I'm telling you that many times they come to me. Brother Gary, how big is your church? I says, no, it's a small church. Oh, come on, Brother Gary. I know that you like to sometimes tease us. You must have a church that is very big. I said, how big is it? Maybe 2,000, 3,000? Maybe 500 or 1,000, he said. And you must have a church building. I said, no. I have around about 40 people. You know, some come, some go. We have no membership in fellowship in the home, we fellowship in the hall. Oh, brother, again, you're not telling me that it be true. I said, that's the truth. Then how could you have this international ministry? How could you travel? How could you help in the missionary work and outreach? I said, don't ask me, it's God. We be faithful to what belongs to God. That's so whatever comes into your hand, you be faithful to it. Remember it. Huh? Remember what the Bible said. Bring me all the tithes into the storehouse, right? And there will be food in due season. You know. And don't be like Israel. As the book of Malachi chapter 3 and 4 tells us. That when they give to God an offering, they give to God a blemished animal. You know, when you want to sacrifice to God an animal, you must make sure that the animal is healthy. Is that right? Huh? But you sacrifice to God one day is lame or sick. That means that they offer to God an offering. What? Not of a willing heart. And not following what God's word said to do. They are reluctant. So when you give your tithes and offering, give it all with cheerful heart because it belongs to God. The God will bless the tithes and offering that others overseas will have food. You know, our ministry seems to be very slow. It started here in Asia, went across to India, Africa, Europe. But you know what? I'm getting more email telling me I'm blessed by it. I'm now looking into it. I'm, you know. And I always get a report from, you know, this, what we call a statistic. On the average, there are two, three hundred that will come to, new people that come in to look at the website. And we have people who quoted me. I already told you, if you're not, there is a writer who quoted my, he wrote an article. He asked me permission to quote. He wrote in his article and he put it on a website called script.com. And what is it about? It is, he wrote this article on the trail of the serpent. And he quoted from my website, several places. He quoted from other authorities, but he just be unbiased to let people look at it. And there is a man who took almost all my messages. He's blind. But he's an organist. You know, not really fully blind, but you know, he still can read, but not in good sight. And he plays the organ. When he read the serpent seed, then he will quote the serpent, my book, let it scream up, you know, stream up on the video, and he will play. He is inspired by the message, the serpent seed, prophetic revelation.com, and he played. And the different ones that he has, he put it in a stream, he played. So that's one of why I need to have an even brother and sister always have told them, write the testimony. Put it on the website. Because there's more news on the website, more people when the what we call Yahoo or Google search will crawl. Okay, to those there are websites that are abundance of information. That's why they crawl. So that's why if you have any testimony that you write, for the glory of the Lord, how God saved you, whatever event happens in your life, put it on that. See? So it is God that do the work. So let us look at it again here. For when for the time you ought to be teacher, you have need that one teach you again. Which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and I'll become such as a milk and not a strong meat. Well, as I said, they've been Some of you may be 10 years old in the message, some of you may be 5, some of you may be 25, 30 years or 40 years. You ought to be a teacher by now. That means that you'll be able at least to understand and be able to teach somebody. Teaching me to share with somebody else. Or you might come out here to share. But here, you still need one teacher again. And again, some of these oracles of God. So you need to be mature, because those people who don't eat meat, continue to eat milk, they will never grow. That's why I'm saying this. We are all privileged people of God, for what God has shown us. That we indulge ourselves in His Word, in the meat of God. Digest, digest, digest. Now, we do not know what's ahead of us that's coming. How bad it's going to be. We know they are coming. And the Word of God that we digest, that we get, that we grow in it, will strengthen us in the days of need that is to come. I don't know what God will allow in the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years. We do not know how the world will be. We know it's going to get bad, but we don't know how much it will affect us one way or another. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If there is climate problem, if there is a famine or a drought, what will happen to Singapore? We are nothing but a small little island, right? Isn't it? Yeah. You saw in the paper? How we Singaporeans? Not in the paper, it was an email that I sent to Sister La Piper sent it to me. She found it on the wind.com. About Singapore growing vegetables, do farming on high rise. Did you see it? It's remarkable. The vegetables are growing high rise. I don't know how high, it's very high. Remarkable. Because we don't have land. Well, that is just vegetables. What about meat? Yeah, we got eggs. We got sing chong egg or whatever, You know, sing chong egg. And they have chicken from the factory. Yeah. Feed them omega 3, omega 12, whatever, and then the chicken, an egg will come out. They're just in the factory. And the chicken are not running around. It's the same kind of chicken they wear in America, that these big Tyson chicken, all hormone. You know. But of course, they give the chicken not hormone, but just to feed them for eggs, but they're not eating the chicken. But okay, now we have chicken, we have egg. Oh, fish farming. Okay, now they're in the sea. But what else? If there is this problem in the world and we are island, we have the money. Yes, Singapore is a rich country. But what can money buy? Can we buy food when there is a shortage of food in other countries? You think the poor is going to sell you the food when they themselves need the food? We don't know what is to come. What God would allow? You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. He said, I'm not going to go through a tribulation. I know you are not going through tribulation. But there will be some form of tribulation that is to come that will affect us one way or another. Not a big one. Then what? We call it tribulation. You don't call it tribulation? Look at Cambodia. Under Pol Pot. Was it not a tribulation for the people? Rich people. Educated people. They were killed. Because this crazy man, Pol Pot, just want to wipe them out. What about Vietnam? Did not a lot of Christians went through tribulation? Oh, Malaysia and Singapore, one time we had problem, right? Remember the riot, racial riot back then in the 60s? Oh yeah. Nobody goes out. What about if it's a bigger problem? Look at now. In places like Syria, Christians are suffering there. Do you know? Yes. Sudan. Liberia. But here we are so comfortable we don't realize. So we need to digest the Word of God. We need to have the food of God. So that in a time of such trial, we know what the Word of God teaches. So we can put our head above water. Huh? So don't be like a babe. Study the Word of God. For everyone that a youth now is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Even in the word of righteousness. Unskillful. That's why sometimes when you sit to discuss with some people over the word of God, over this very precious truth that we have, they just cannot see. Is it because they cannot see or they do not want to see many times? That's why when I had years ago, and when we had this, they have this convention out there in Bellevue. What hotel is that? Down in the, you know, Waterloo Street there. And after the service, we went to, you know, cafeteria, coffee shop, they call it Kopitiam at that place, and we sit around the table. Brown Rice was there too. And so they were all discussing about the 70 week of Daniel. It's a popular subject. So there were arguments. Oh, tread on yourself! Tread on yourself for the Jew! Brown said so. Oh. And then this brother tried to put a force in everything that you read in the book of Revelation. Huh? Regarding the great tribulation. And all that which the two prophets will come and all this, squeeze everything in 3.5 years. Barnabas was there. You know, you try to show them the thing about it. They are adamant about it because they know the prophet said so. They are not skilled because they do not know the word. So when they are not skilled, I rather believe the prophet than you. He will tell you. Because the prophet, he was vindicated. So who are you, brother again? You think you are smarter than Brother Branham? They like to make this word in front of all the other people. You know what happened? They said, no, I'm not smart. I'm not smart. But I'm wise. You know. That's the reason why I didn't make a stand. If I don't make a stand for the truth, there'll be no truth left. For you and me, all we have is okay. It's just not our mind because we fear. Remember what we read there? We fear. Fear what? Fear God or you fear the prophet? All the words come. You know, this is a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. We are looking at the principles. Now, this is the introduction to the importance of the principles of the doctrines of Christ. If you do not know why we need to understand this doctrine of God, of Christ, then you have no use for us to be here then. As I said, these are the basics that we need to know why. Huh? Yes, of course. I've been a God's prophet, I get a prophet's reward. Don't you? Isn't that true? You believe the prophet, you believe Brock, son, brother, Brock. Yes, you believe him. And you got a prophet's reward because you listen to the message, he points us back to the word. Good. Follow that direction. Huh? He is a pointer. Look at what he pointed, not look at what the point. Don't look at the pointer. A messenger always point. Give a message. Look at the message. Don't look at the messenger. That's why sometimes when you order pizza delivery. Huh? Or can I get fried chicken delivery? And this delivery comes to bring it to your home, deliver it to your home, and you look at the pizza. Why is the pizza like that? Why is the pizza like this? Why is it like this? Why do you take it on, delivery man? He's just a delivery, he didn't bake it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why is this Kentucky Fried Chicken? They're all wings, why? Why is it all wings? They're all the top, not all wings. Don't take it on the delivery man. He's just a messenger boy. Take it with the headquarters. Is that true? That's true, isn't it? So, when you get something, look at the thing, but don't look at the messenger boy. He's just a messenger. The postman, whether he delivers you good news or bad news, he's not to be blamed. If the postman. You don't say the postman comes to the door. You know that? Do you know that? Not today, huh? There were days without a letter box. Postman here, here's the letter. You know. And you open the letter and read, and the postman walked away. Oh, thank you, this is very good news. My grandson, 30,000. Thank you very much. And so you come to hear somebody died. How do you bring me this bad news? You blame it on him? He doesn't. It's just a postman. So when we got what we have, look at it. When God gives us the message, look at the message. When you come to the message, what happened now? You receive a prophet, receive a prophet's word. You receive an apostle, you receive an apostle's word. You receive an evangelist, you receive an evangelist's reward. You receive a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. The Bible said that. It's true, isn't it? Right? So if you receive a thief in the house, you know what reward you get. When he's gone, you'll find many of the things are gone too. Right? If you receive a preacher, a man of God into your house, you'll be blessed. So the Bible said, do not forget to entertain stranger, my dear, entertaining angels unaware. That's true. An angel not always appear to be a good man. He can appear to be a beggar. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You see. So we need to understand this thing. Alright, let's go on. But strong men belong to them that are foolish, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Foolish. Foolish doesn't mean that, like Brother Kati, your sister Andy, huh? Foolish. It doesn't mean that. Yeah? Foolish means you're immature. You understand? Strong men belong to them that are foolish. When someone who have grown up and have really tasted the good food of God, the strong meat of God, and able to handle the word of God. You see? So when you are foolish, now, you know what a wise man is. If you do something wrong, somebody came up to you and tell you are wrong. And you know that you're wrong, what would you do? You don't give excuses to fight back. That's what we call a mature man, a full-aged man, grown up. Now, let me tell you this story. I think that you probably have. It's a, what we call it, it's a saying. There were two monks. But this is all about Chinese, you know, a saying. Well, two monks that was on the way, on a journey to another area. So while they were on the journey, they came across a riverbank. So at the riverbank was a woman. I think you probably know about this story. At the woman. And a woman wanted to cross the river. You know, but because she is dainty, you know how women are. She went up across the river. So one of the monk or priest says, let me carry you. You know. And the other monk looked at him. Uh-oh. So the monk carried her and crossed the river. And then left her on the other side. And then both monks continued on their journey. So while they continue on their journey, the other monk is struggling, you know, getting in a conversation to him. So they interrupt and to tell him what happened back then. So this other monk came and said, yeah, speak away. You know, we are monk. We're not supposed to touch a woman. You know, we're not supposed to carry the woman. You're not supposed to carry the woman. And that monk said, where is she? I didn't carry her anymore. She's there. She's back there. I'm not carrying her anymore. She's back there. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's back there already. But the problem is that this other monk might still blame on him. You shouldn't be carrying her. You shouldn't be carrying her. I left her already. Back there. You see, the thinking is, if you're mature, you understand there's a woman in strength. Monk cannot touch a woman. I don't know what kind of monk that anyway. Oh no, you know there's a lot of problem. Huh? People have ideas about touching women and in opposite sex in hand. No, that was what happened back then in the early days, right here in the church, beginning of the first church. Pastor wouldn't even want to shake a woman's hand. What's the problem? Something is wrong. There is something wrong with the mind. If you are mature, you should understand what it's all about. Whether you are a monk or religious man or not, when you see some a woman, a naked woman who is in danger or something, you are not going to rescue her. I told you when I was in the Philippines, we got up early in the morning, so about 4 or 5 a.m., to travel all the way to what is the volcano place up there in the north? Tagaytay. Yes. You know, and when we were traveling past this, Manila is very big, so we just have to get out of the city. I think the sun was coming out. I think the sun came out there in the early morning, earlier than here, because here is about 7 o'clock, and then there is about 6 o'clock. And when we passed through a road, this empty, and here we saw a woman completely naked walking down the street towards us. We were looking, I said, naked. The pastor and I go learn, so we're going to do something with her. I know she's mentally, you know, she's deranged, she just walked naked. And we don't have anything in the van, no club, nothing. You know. I was looking, I said, let us give her something that she cover herself. But because, you know, we have to move on. We don't have anything to give her. And even though we give her to her, we don't even know whether she will throw away that club or whatever. You know, some people just, you know, when you are deranged, you club or no club, you just throw away. You just want to be naked. He said, there's common sense when people are in trouble. In whatever situation, we do our best to help. And don't come the religious idea, this and that, that sort of thing. I mean, if you have fear of death, of course you have fear of this and that, you know. Diseases and all that. Yeah, we take precaution. Common sense will take the precaution. But don't just shine away. Ooh, that's dirty. Dirty? Do you know how dirty you are when you think like that? Because when I work in a hospital, I know. And the first ward that I ever been was the filthiest ward in every hospital. Because why? They're all mentally sick patients. Not mentally, they're already all subnormal. And the ward was with young kids. You know, subnormal children. Like you see those who are, what they call, who have, you know, who have, they all look kind of same in the face. I can't remember what's the name for that.
Down syndrome.
Down syndrome, yes. Many of the kids are there in the ward. And they're men in their 50s, 60s, all color. Why? Because they got venereal disease, a disease called, a bacteria called the spirochetes that go right into their spine. And it is actually a corkscrew. Under a microscope, that is a corkscrew bacteria. Go right into the spinal cord and eat all the way up to the brain until the person all curl up like this. And there are many of these patients there because they go to prostitute. And they don't take precaution until they get into all these brain diseases. And they end up with known as GPI, general paralysis of the insane. So what happened in that ward? Every time we go on a morning duty, you enter the ward. It's a big one. Just open, just get in. You can smell bad. Everywhere will be feces. Everyone will be having it. And how many staff do we have? We have 2 attendants, 2 nursing, and then 1 in charge. 5 persons. And the ward is about 30, 40 people. We have to grab every one of them into the toilet and wash them. All over the body, just deal with it. What do you think we do? Grab them and carry them in there. You think we take a hose and just hold the whole ward? No. Dirty? Yes. Nursing is a noble job. It is. People don't appreciate it. So when you see something like that, what are you going to do?
That's what most people say, isn't it? Yeah. So when we look at, we must know how the mindset, how to deal with things. Okay, so they discern the reason of use, their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. How to deal with it. Isaiah 28, verse 9 to 13. Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall we, Isaiah 28, 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, lie upon line, lie upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you will not hear. But the word of God was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snare and taken. So it was a prophecy of Isaiah warning to the, you know, to the people of Israel. Whom shall God teach knowledge? Whom? Them that are weaned, who shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the blood, breast. You cannot, we can never understand truth and knowledge of God, the mystery of God, if we are not weaned from the milk and from the breast. Now, you know, denomination is such that everything is all based on someone that is so brief and so petty, pet subject. How can you ever, how can these people ever learn knowledge? And then many of you, if you talk to Christian friends who are in a denomination, you share with them about some basic thing. Say, oh, what is this? Really? Never heard of it. Have you ever? What do you know next to nothing? Even a son with a brother of mine. You tell them where was Jesus born? Jerusalem. You hear what I'm saying? He asked them where was Jesus born? Jerusalem. Where was Brother Abraham born? Oh, in the Lord cabin in Kentucky. I didn't know all that. How was Jesus baptized? Let me think. You know? What happened in the river? What happened when Brother Abraham baptized the person and here comes that fireball, you know, hang upon his head. What river was that? Oh, River Ohio. They know everything. Huh? What year was the Southern Vision given? Oh, 1933. They know everything. You know that, huh? Yes. But how was Jesus when he sat down in the temple and talked to the Pharisees, the religious men? How old was he? You know how old he was? How old? 12 years. How old was he when he was baptized and stopped preaching? 30 years old. All of you don't even know. When was Jesus born? Come on. Bethlehem. Where did he live? Where did he grow up? You should know. Nazareth. After he went to Nazareth, where did he live? Where did he move to live? He grew up in Nazareth, yes. But where did he live? Capital. You see? So you know, things like this, a lot of people don't know because they don't care. They are not mature, they are not. They are still sucking up, going to the church to sing hallelujah, hallelujah. And then what? And then you go shake the pastor's hand. So make sure the pastor look at him to know that I'm coming to church every Sunday, you know? You understand? Or whatever. Yeah, there are all kinds of these. This is not the way. A church of God is a people of God who wants to know more about our Father in heaven.
He always emphasizes the importance between your, between you and God is your relationship with Him. Remember, the vertical and the horizontal. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. It must be up vertical before His arm can spread out. So there's relationship between you and God. First of all, the vertical, then the horizontal. So you need to know God more important than, oh yeah, I go to church last Sunday, I met so-and-so, a long time no see, so-and-so, how are you? Let's go eat, after service, go eat the xiaolongbao. You know, you have all this coming to church as a social. No! You come to church to, well, not social, to worship God, to follow Him, yes. Most of all, to know God. That is the important thing about the church. So that's why we need to know the very basics of why you are here. Why it is your relationship between you and your Father in heaven. The principle of the doctrine of God. Let's continue. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here, a little there, a little there. That's what the Bible is. When we study the Bible, here, a little here, a little here, a little precept here, right? Do you know? That's not why when we study the Bible, we need to know. When we study something in the New Testament, where do we find it in the Old Testament? Like for example, Paul talks about, oh, you know what? Abraham. Paul said, in the Hebrew, 9, chapter 9, right? You know, he and Isaac, his son, went out looking for a city, not built with hands, huh? It has foundation, whose maker and builder was God. What did he get? What did he get there? What did he get there? What did he get there in the Old Testament? And so the foolishness of the Brahma is, show me a coat, show me a coat. Show you a coat for what? And I believe when Paul was preaching those days, perhaps there are some guys just like that. Paul, show me a coat in the Old Testament. Show me a scripture. Show me a scripture. What did Moses say? What did the prophet say in the Old Testament? That Moses was looking for a city not built with hands. Did you read that in the Old Testament? There's such a verse like that? No. But how did, or how on earth did Paul know that he was looking for a city not built with hands? And how come we can accept what Paul said to be true? That Abraham was looking for a city, huh? Not built with hands. Well, by the time we come to the New Testament, the gospel, you should know what it is all about. Isn't it so? You should know what it is all about. And that's why when Paul talks about that, the Holy City was not even shown to him yet. Right? It was John, the last apostle to die, who had it shown to him on the Isle of Patmos. Remember? Huh? It's not the Holy City of Israel coming down. Isn't it? Yes. Yeah, but Paul had the revelation because why? There's consistency in the Word of God. He knew that God was building a church of people that are called out. And even when he realized what Jesus was saying, huh? In my Father's house are many mansions. Remember, Jesus said that. If you were not so, I told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself. And the way I am, you shall be also. Is that what he said? Yes. And then God, Paul began to have another part of it and another revelation. He wrote in Corinthians about this spiritual body. Is that right? Yes. You see, he got it. That's what Paul. You think Paul knows everything overnight? No. He grew in grace. He grew in grace. He spent his time studying. Reading the scripture, praying, understanding. That's what makes a minister. A minister who spent time in the world, who spent time in prayer. You can't be a minister who doesn't know what you're doing. I mean, take Brother Cuddy, for example. I mean, he wasn't and police force, and then he was dealing with the criminal in court case. No, no, you need to know what he's doing. You need to study and then present the case. Right? No, my brother Henry, he deals with plastics. He needs to know, and he needs to know how he functions, how he works, what to do. He needs to study to do it. So a workman, a professional, needs to know the job. I mean, if I said, oh, Brother Henry, let me be a worker, I think I know what to do. You think I know what to do? I mean, look at him, how he do this. I think, oh, I can do so simple. Oh, it's something that you learn. You spend time learning and learn until you know what you're doing. So the same thing of workman. That's what Paul told Timothy. Study the work of God, the Word of God. You know, need not be ashamed, writing, dividing the word of truth. A workman that need not be ashamed. That's no reason. You know, I'm not afraid to analyze the Word of God. Back and forth, back and forth, you know. And over the years, God was able to give me an understanding here and this, and then how this thing, how the word linked together. If you don't study, you don't understand. Yes, sometimes revelation come upon me because God allows it to come. And then say, show me the word. How, where is it linked to? You see. Tells us the Mark of Cain is a good example. You know, the thunders, even in the legal writing, the book, there are things that detail that comes up and I start writing that. You know. So you know it is, we need to be. So the Bible is such that we need to understand what is saying here in the New Testament, this passage, link with another passage and look at it. You cannot take the Bible a little out of one passage of scripture and then make build a doctrine without some other support. You cannot take Matthew 28:19 and say, that's all of it. Can you? You know what Matthew 28:19 is all about? Yeah. Be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So you take that and you say, oh, Jesus said so. So everybody baptized that way. And you forgot completely what the law of scripture understanding tells you. At the mouth of two or three, let the matter be established. Is that right? Is that not right? So, taking one verse, a weakness of a verse, is not a solid truth. Do you see? So here a little, there a little. From his stumbling lips in another tongue will he speak to his people. Here he has the stumbling lips in another tongue will he speak to his people. Now, where are my stumbling lips? You know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, you know, he speaks Aramaic, he speaks Hebrew, he speaks Greek. But on the cross, what was he speaking? He was speaking Aramaic. Yeah. And the people, the soldiers, the Romans, couldn't understand. You know, couldn't understand what he was saying. So somebody may come to mean to say other language. That's why sometimes this charismatic Pentecostal use this verse to say, you see, God is speaking to the people in the church, prophecy, whatever. You know, how that this charismatic and the Pentecostal right like to santara, whatever that thing. You have very common phrases. How many of you read Pentecostal church and charismatic? And help them? Yeah. It's very common. And you don't even know what they are talking about. They don't understand the scripture. So they stumble in it, they're thinking, no, they're stumbling in it, so God is talking to the people and all that stuff. I remember back then when I was in the state for a convention in this church, and there was a sister in the church. And every time the service is over, most of the time she will come out, she will just, you know, speak in tongues, but it's the same old phrase all the time. It's the same old phrase all the time, and a preacher will interpret, because that is not what it is. I mean, some people are emotion. You know people are emotion? You know when people are in motion? Huh? They start to, especially if you go to Africa, and you understand. In Africa, the worship there, after the fellowship is over, after the message is preached, people will pray. You can hear, see a lot of women have to swing and fall down and all this. You know, they are very emotional. They were taught that way, charismatic and Pentecostal, taught the people that way. And so they follow it that way. And I don't like that because it's just a traditional thing. None of why I like a church is too stiff. Relax! Worship the Lord, lift up your hand, clap. Do you understand? Now, with common lips and another tongue, we speak to his people. This verse has been even taken by the brand of mind to tell me the brother Branham, the you know, Brother Branham talks at that time, he stumbled with a few words in between, repeat two words. They said, this is God's word. God is speaking to Brother Branham. So every word that comes from the mouth of Brother Branham is the word of God, verbatim. So God is using Brother Branham's tongue. You know what I'm talking about? They said, this is what it means, they were telling me. Come away now. Ridiculous. Many of us sometimes when we talk, when we think, we say, you know, we repeat them. But people will take anything to justify their doctrine. But the word of God was, he said, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherein you shall cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Yes, God sometimes, you know, will take a prophet to speak in an unknown tongue and speak in a foreign language, whatever it may be. Or stand and live as to, well, pause a little bit, pause, and repeat, pause. God's way of teaching you. You know, a preacher will take a pause, repeat, pause, repeat. So that you may understand and refresh yourself. So that you will not go, you know, so that they might go and fall backward and be broken and stand, taken by the Lord. You know, it is a terrible thing when you fall into the hands of man. Do you know the Bible said that? It is a terrible thing when you fall into the hands of man. But it is okay when you fall into the hands of God. You fall into a rock and it's broken, fine. You know the Bible said in the book of Daniel about a stone that come up, they grow up to a big mountain and crush the nations. If the rock crush you, you're finished. But if you crush on the rock, it's okay. You know the difference? That means you fall into the hands of God. That's okay. He take you. Huh? But if his hand crush you, you're finished. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 2. My doctrine, Deuteronomy 32 verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herbs and as the showers upon the grass. My doctrine. Not my doctrines. Just simple, singular. It's all things and everything about Christ, everything is in there. All about God is always in that one. Revelation and doctrine. Shall drop as the rain. You know what the rain does? When it falls down upon, when it comes down upon plants, it is soaked into the, into this plant, right? And the rain that comes right down, the herbs, I mean, and as a shower upon the grass, when it comes down, pepper on the grass and the little tender herbs, it absorbs the water, it grew. And so may the word of God, his doctrine comes upon us like that. That we can drink of his word and grow strong. Next one is 1 Timothy, two more passages of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 7. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, now read 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times means Well, later times are days of Paul. And this is the later times now. Okay. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, if people in the denomination will quote this verse and they will simply refer to the Catholic Church, you know, how they fell away in the early 4th century for the apostolic faith, yeah, you can apply that. But you know what? Today we look at a Protestant. Did not the Protestant church that came out of the through the Reformation period, under Luther, under John Hus, Whitfield, and all these others, what happened? What happened to Protestantism today? Did they not fall away from the faith that was given them also? Yes. Now they're all going back to the mama. That's what he formed the daughters of harlots. They build themselves in the image of the beast, the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. That's what happened. They're falling away from the faith. But what faith is he talking about here? Did the Protestant really have the faith that was given to the saints? As the book of Jude says, remember, contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Did they have the faith that was there in the early beginning? Look at the denomination. Do they believe what was supposed to be the water baptism in Jesus' name? There's only one God. Do they believe in the serpent seed? Do they believe in going to hell? Do they understand the trail of the serpent? Do they understand about the original sin? Or do they? Or do they say it's an apple from a tree? Or a fruit from a tree? And the God is a Trinity. Remember originally when the Pentecost started, not the first one, the second one in the 20th century, in Azusa Street. 1909, 1903. No, when they fall up, they understand they have the revelation that God is one, not a Trinity. Not a Trinity. Their baptism must be in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew it. And that the gift is still operable. But what happened today? Pentecostal has given way to what? They are forming just like all the others. And words of God comes around charismatic season. They united the people. They bring the people together. So that's why I say, now the spirit express that in the later times shall depart from the faith. But this faith, what we're talking about, is a faith that is restored to us through the prophet. But you see what happened now? After Brother Bam's come, what happened? Look at, they had departed from the very truth that Brother Bam was telling them. Back to the original! Back to the apostolic faith! He held up the Bible and said, this is my absolute! Is that true? And stuck with him and said, and move on! But what did they do? They put a period behind. Remember? As I God told me, there are three kinds of people. The message people, there are three kinds. They hold the message and say, this is the message. Period. Period. The other one says, this is a message minus. They minus the Bible. Only the quotes of Brother Branham. And we here are a message plus people. Plus, this would continue. That's what the message was. Come to it and continue. Do you understand that? Amen. Alright, let's continue with the other verses. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, do you know what seducing spirit is? It's a powerful thing. Don't think that reason why. Sometimes I said this before. There are three kinds of spirit. Human spirit, your spirit that is. The spirit of the devil is out there in this, you know, heaven. The principality of the power of the air. And then you have the spirit of God. And don't think you can wrestle with the devil without the word of God. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. You need this word. You can never fight the devil without this one. Do you understand this? Huh? Doctrines of devil. Yeah, I got all kinds. Oh, Brother Branham is Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Yes. Do you know the new name of Jesus is William Mario Branham? You know I know about it? It is going on around the world today. Yes, and over there in India, Thomas, that there are two Christ. First Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Christ is the Lord Branham Christ. Wow. What kind of doctrine is that? Where does it come from? Where do all this doctrine come from? All this devilish doctrine? It came from hell. And when they pray, Father, bless this food in the name of the Lord Branham Christ. Woo. And the first Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, did not finish his work. That's why God sent the second Christ, Lord Branham Christ, to finish the work. Oh my. You know, how they have fallen from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So where do we stand today? That's why we will not ground in the Word of God. We will give ourselves over to all kinds of spirit. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. This is a very, well, favorite pastime among preachers. Huh? Really? A favorite pastime. Among the Pentecostal and the Charismatic. And even in the Branhamite camp, I've seen them, I've faced them here in Singapore, one after another. It makes me sick. No. You know what, brother, I said, it's very important, as I said this. When you make a promise, keep your promise. You know what I mean? If you are making an appointment with someone to be at a certain place at a certain time, keep their promise. If you cannot keep the promise, you cannot make it the time, you've got to call a brother and say, I'm sorry, I cannot make it. I might be late, whatever, you know. Let us come, cancel the appointment another time. Let them know in advance. Don't let the person wait and wait and wait. That's what happened in 71. And I asked for some book. Yes, come and take it, brother, again. I went there and I stand up standing there. Where is that? Where is the pastor? He's not here, the brother said. I said, what a book, can you give me some? I can't give you the book because I don't have permission. Okay. I called back again and said, okay, come again, I'll be there. I came back the second time, he's still not there. He's still not there. And I have to back. Think about it. I thirst for the truth. So just give me a few of Brother Bram's book. The brother will not tell you, give me, I think, 22 or 3. That's why later on we wrote to Director Brother Borders. Why bother to ask for it? And what happened to all the thousands of books in the wall on the shelf? They were eaten by termites and you burn it. You call yourself servant of God? Huh? Not in that! A couple of years later, we want to show them the movies of Brother Ben. And we don't have it. The first church have it. I called up. Yes, okay, we are great. I said, we have two showing, one in the morning, you know, and one in the afternoon. I mean, one in the afternoon, one in the night. Please bring it in the afternoon at 3 p.m. It was. And the time we were having the show was at Brother Manhau's place. You know Brother Manhau? Yes, we will be there. You know what? There was a New Zealander, a brother who was in a message. He worked in the Angzu, in the Naval Basin, back then. He came also for a meeting. 3 p.m. came. The movie, the real was not, did not come. The real world man did not come. And there were people in the house. People we invite because of our little book, periodical we print, we invite them to come. There were a few of them that were new. They were coming to see. We were waiting, they were new. What did I do? Unfortunately, the Lord gave me a reel, which when I borrowed, the projector from Tyson Dentals. You remember Tyson Dentals? They're having a toothpaste also they sell. And they have this projector, they have some movies of
one of those great preacher men of God who preach and demonstrate miracles as well. I can't remember the name of that preacher in the Philippines, well known. One of the titles is Bitten by Devils, and another one is the Invisible Boy. Literally, the devil make the person invisible and walk through. You know, and then one was a prostitute in the Philippines, in Manila, was bitten by devils. You know, she was not screaming, and she was, you know, when she walked the street, she was brought to the home, you know, and kept there, and then the next she was not screaming. And it was in a big news in the paper in Manila. So this preacher, I can't recall the name, a famous preacher, and he said, I will pray for you. She went and prayed, and the devil was screaming at him, and, you know, and the newspaper, you know, reporter was already there. So they asked him, so it's, who won? The devil win or you won? And the preacher said, the devil is not easy to cast out, but I'll go and fast and I'll come back. So it was in the headline. And I think the headline says, round one goes to the devil or something like that. So he went and fast, I think he fasted for 7 days or something, then he came back. And then he went in and cast out the devil. And they show a movie of them. How the devil left through holes in the wall in the vent, and the girl was delivered. And then it was a big sensation in the whole of it. I showed that movie. So, but those people who were coming here to know more about the truth of what this man William Graham was about, they had to go back after this meeting. They don't want to stay for the evening. And I have to call the pastor. I said, you are supposed to bring it. He gave all kinds of excuses. I told him, I said, let me have the real. Let me collect it even before it starts. No, I have to be where the real goes. In the evening, the second service starts. We're supposed to show him at 7:30. He didn't turn up on time. No. He started at about half an hour late. And he came in. I'm sorry. What else is to say? Because he's not interested in saving souls to impart the truth. You know, he thinks I'm trying to challenge him for a bigger slice of the pie or something. That's why he felt threatened when I came into the truth and become a preacher of the word. He felt threatened. I'm not competing, man. If I want to have a big congregation, I want to be a charismatic preacher. It was a sort of terrible thing, one after another. After that, another one did the same. Destroy my church over there, Malacca. No apology. Even a few others. Brother Nice even seen the whole thing. Brother Nice warning. And I was just waiting. Brother Nice wrote him. I'm just waiting. If he doesn't get it out from the website, I will expose him. Telling lies and hypocrisy. You know, you put it on a website and send things and people tell you it's real. That this is what happened. It is not true. You want to say something? You better have witness. And this book that I've written, I have witness. I have letters. Everything is in my file. And if you think I'm lying, I can show it to you if you want. I'm so sick and tired of this hypocrisy. That's what the Bible says. Speaking like hypocrisy, having your conscience sealed with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. Yeah, I've got a character. Forbidding to marry. Is it? Yeah. And even in Africa, but they don't know what happened when there was some young man or woman that fornicated and this and that. You know, there were cases when a man fornicated with a girl in the church and the pastor said, you fornicated, but you cannot marry, you have sinned. And the man says, I want to marry the girl. Yeah, we fornicate, yeah, but we want to marry. No, you are fornicated even before you marry, so it's fornicated. No matter. That's what the Bible teaches. Even though you handle the word of God, don't! People have no idea how to handle the word of God. Even a brother and a sister out there fornicating, if there is make known this, then get them together. You don't have to get married because you're already married in the eyes of God when you come together in that wedlock. But they don't know how to handle it, separate them. We're separate them. What happened? Because they're not meant to separate. That's what brother, even you don't read it in the message.
But that's what a brother pastor told me. I said, that's the truth. You see, there was a young couple. The brother was in the church and the brother was caught in heaven. The mother came up to him. Brother Abraham says, no, we cannot marry. Brother Abraham says, why? They fornicated. Brother said, we have not sinned. They married. And you know what? When I said that to a lot of people, they said to me, Berger, you are telling me that you allow, you approve premarital sex? Remember we talked about this issue before? What is premarital sex? Do you read that in the scripture about premarital sex? When a man and a woman go out together, whether in a hotel, or in a forest, or in a park, or in a home, when they have sex, do you know, in the eyes of God, they are wedded. Do you know that? If they are not wedded together and they just continue and then they separate, then they are fornicator. Do you understand what I'm talking about? About this issue. You need to know how to handle this issue. Because in those days, one brother, one pastor recently just wrote me yesterday an email. Said, Brother Gant, you know me. I want to tell you something. I wasn't married before the people. I don't know about the message. But I have my wife. We have been living together. But we have never been married. Are we married? Are they married? Yes, they are married. You mean marriage must be conducted in the church like a symphony? Must it marriage be with the music? That's marriage. People don't even have a sense of understanding what a marriage is. In those days, in the Old Testament, how did they get married? The Bible said, Cain took a half sister, huh? Is that right? Did they have any ceremony? Well, the Bible said that Isaac saw, Isaac saw Rebecca came in a camel train, right? He took her into the mother Sarah's tent, right? Is that right? And she was comforted, means he married her. Simple enough. Did the Bible say anything about ceremony? You understand? The rich one, they have ceremony for 1 month, 7 days, okay. But not everybody do that. It's only because we're Christian, we want to have a church wedding. That's what we call it, a church wedding. So that we can stand before, the couple can stand before the Lord and before the congregation and rejoice together. Is that right? Yeah. You see. So you may have a lot of money, have many tables. You don't have no money, no tables. Just get married, that's all. Simple. But we have all kinds. Commanding to abstain from meat, which God have created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which forbid. And no, it's true. Oh yeah, you cannot take meat. I remember the Catholic, Friday cannot take meat. One time he says, no, we can take meat, but not fish. No, I don't understand. Well, why you cannot take meat, but can take fish? Or cannot take fish, but can take meat? I don't know. There was one time I heard somebody tell me that. I'm kind of confused. But for every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused. If it is, it be received with thanksgiving. Now, every creature is good. Even a monitor is good. Even a gecko is on the wall. Yeah, they're all good for meat, food, you know. Some people say, oh, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that. And if I can say, I suppose they eat anything. Anything that anybody eat. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained them. Yeah, this is what Paul told Timothy. To remember to teach them what is, how to discern things like that. But refuse profane and all wise favor and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Don't let somebody say, oh, Brother Brand, everything's about Brother Brand, you know this and that problem. That is just a lot of Ben Babylon. Old wives' tales. No, that's not old wives' tales, sorry. Old foolish men's tales. Wise men's tales about Branham and this and that, you must quote this and that sort of thing. No, that is not true. And like it is said, we do our feet washing first before we have communion, right? Oh, Brother John, you are wrong. Brother Abraham did it the other way around. Have communion first, then full washing. So what's the big deal? We are following the scripture. Brother Abraham, do it that way because that's the way he understood. Perhaps he didn't quite understand. And I can tell you this 100%. Brother Abraham did not have all the revelation. Did not have every truth in understanding. Do you agree with that? God, how can you talk like this? He was a prophet of God. He knows everything. Really? He knows everything. Paul knows everything. Really? Who's a liar? Prophet said, I don't know everything. Yes. And Paul said, I know in part, I preach in part. And you know, we are here more than 50 years past Brother Branham's death. And that what we should have more understanding than what he had in those days. Is it not true? Common sense will tell you that revelation is progressive. And you put the period to the message, you are finished. Last verse, Acts 2:42. And we close with this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Now look at it carefully, this simple verse. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine. Not the prophet's doctrine, because there's no prophet's doctrine. In the Old Testament, there's not a prophet. The prophet's doctrine, the teaching is all pointing to the Calvary. And when Christ fulfilled it as the prophet of prophets, he resurrected, he became the apostles. The apostle of apostles. That's what Hebrews said so. Remember in chapter 3? Yes. Huh? The apostle of our faith, what the Bible said. The chief shepherd, the apostle of our faith. He is a prophet to Israel. Jesus Christ is a prophet to Israel. He is not a prophet to the church. He is an apostle to the church. That's the Hebrew. Right? You understand? Listen, because the apostle is what he put up there. Yeah, he's a chief apostle, chief prophet, chief evangelist, chief pastor and chief teacher. That's what the Bible calls him. He's a chief shepherd. Steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So that's not forsaking the fellowship among ourselves. And in the breaking of bread. Breaking of bread. What is breaking of bread? It's not communion. This one. Break this one. The breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. That's what it is. And in prayer. People think that's why some churches don't understand. They think that they break, they have communion every Sunday when they come together. That's not what the Bible says. Breaking of bread, this is the bread. The spiritual thing. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay? So, maturity is only attained when you come to understand the milk part first and move on to the meat part. So this is the laying or the introduction to the six principles that we are going to look at in each and every of the next few Sundays and go on to perfection. Amen. God bless. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for your grace, for your goodness to us. Come in all things, Father, the word being said, being shared, broken. We pray the Lord we take it to heart. And digest it, Father, to know that we need to be matured and strong, going on to perfection, Father. So we commit the rest of the day to you now. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name.